You would turn now to Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 31. Which can be found on page 884 of the Pew Bible. Page 884, Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 31. This is the word of the Lord. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" This is the word of the Lord. Now the Christ carries his cross. Now the Son of God goes to his death. And on the way, there followed him a great multitude of people and women who were weeping for him. It was the fulfillment of Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 10. "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn." Luke's gospel begins with the blessing of a womb. It begins with the blessing of the womb of Mary. Chapter 1, verse 31. "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, filled with the Spirit, she cried, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." But now the women of Jerusalem cry, not to call her blessed, nor to bless the fruit of her womb, but to weep for the fruit of her womb, to weep for her firstborn son, to weep for Jesus. When we consider the story of salvation, a story that begins in Genesis with the creation and the fall, when we consider that story, we understand why the women weep. For the story of salvation begins with a promise, with the promise that salvation would come through the womb. Through the womb of the woman, through her offspring, through a son born to her. From that time in the beginning, from Genesis chapter 3 to the end of the Old Testament, the people of God were looking for that son. They were looking for that offspring, asking, who is this son? Who is the offspring of the woman? Even at the end of the Old Testament, they were still waiting. And now that he has come, his appearance should have been matched with rejoicing. But here it is met with weeping. For this son of Mary, the son of God, he goes before them as a man of sorrows to die in sadness. How could they not have wept for him? But Jesus turns to them and says something that they surely did not expect. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Do not weep for me. But weep for yourselves and for your children. His words here remind us of that time when he drew near to the city, knowing that he went there to die. And when he saw the city, he wept. But he did not weep for himself. He wept for it. He wept for the city. He wept for Jerusalem. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. While he did not desire to die the death of the cross, it was his pleasure to do his Father's will. And while he wept because of it, he did not mourn his fate, but he looked to the joy beyond it. And that is why he now says, to the daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. But why does he say, weep for yourselves and for your children? Why were they to do that? Why were they to weep for themselves and for their children? Why should they not weep for Mary's son? We need not wonder. He tells us why. Verse 29, for behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. This is a great reversal of that hope that runs throughout the scriptures. Throughout the scriptures, the barren womb is never a cause for rejoicing. Not simply because of the desire for children, but because of the desire for Christ. The one who had been promised not apart from the womb, but through it. The blessing of children cannot be understood apart from the blessing of Christ. There is no blessing of children apart from the blessing of Christ. And here Jesus speaks of a day when the barren womb will be called blessed. When the womb that never bore and the breast that never nursed will be called blessed. How are we to understand this blessing of barrenness? Here Jesus speaks of a world that is without Christ. For if there is no blessing apart from him, then these children born outside of him, they will not know the blessing of him. And so it would be better for them never to have been born at all. In a world without Christ, the fruitful womb does not bring blessing. In a world without Christ, the barren womb is blessed. For in a world without Christ, nothing is blessed. What world is that? The world of which Jesus speaks is hell. We see this in verse 30. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Here Jesus speaks not simply of the end of Jerusalem. He speaks of the end of the world. What we read here in Luke chapter 23, we find it also in Revelation chapter 6. At the opening of the sixth seal, when the sun becomes black, when the sky vanishes like a scroll, when every mountain is removed from its place, Revelation chapter 6 verse 15, when the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hides themselves and calls to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. the great day of their wrath has come. And who can stand? Now we may understand why Jesus tells these women not to weep for him, but to weep for themselves and for their children. For though he goes to suffer the cross, though he goes to bear the wrath of God, the cross is not his end. Wrath is not his end. Joy lies beyond it. Glory lies beyond it. But for those who reject him, those who do not follow him, those who seek life apart from him, all that remains for them is the fearful expectation of judgment. What remains for them is wrath without end. Now they weep for him, but on that day they will hide from him, and they will wail on account of him. So Jesus would not be pitied by them. For it is he that pities them. His suffering will come to an end, but theirs will not. On the day of judgment, the womb that never bore and the breast that never nursed will be called blessed. And for this reason, it would be better that you never had been born than to be cast into hell. Judgment to which Jesus went. A judgment which he suffered. A judgment which he endured. That same judgment awaits us all. No one can escape that day. If they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? These words, "Do not weep for me," they are not spoken to keep us from being moved to tears at the sufferings of Christ. They are spoken to keep us from pitying him, as though he were one without hope, as though it would have somehow been better had he not endured this fate. If that is why we weep, then we must weep for ourselves instead. For to weep in this way is to weep as one without hope. But how may we weep as those not without hope? By knowing that this one is the Savior of the world. That he goes to the cross to bear our sins. That he goes to satisfy the wrath of God. That he goes to open for us life with God. Such weeping is not without hope. For such weeping brings not only tears of sorrow, but tears of relief and tears of joy. For even as we weep over his wounds, we know that they bring healing. Even as we weep over his death, we know that it brings resurrection. Even as we weep over his sorrow, we know his joy, and that with him is salvation and life. If these women of Jerusalem, if these mothers of Israel were not to weep for him, then what were they to do? They were to believe in him. For those who believe in him need weep no more. Those who believe in him need not weep for him. And they need not weep for themselves or for their children. For in him the promise is to us and to our children. But for those who do not believe in him, for them we ought to weep, and especially if they are our children. For without him, we are lost. And what awaits us is a horror the world has never known. How are we to respond? What ought we to do? We see it in Simon of Cyrene. Even as they seized Jesus, so they seized him. And even as Jesus was compelled to carry his cross, Simon was compelled to carry it for him. And Simon of Cyrene, we see the proper response . What is that response? Not to weep for his sufferings, but to share in them. To take up the cross and follow him. This is why we must not pity him. This is why we must not feel sorry for him. For we are called to follow him in this same path. We are called to carry this same cross. We are not to weep for him. We are to suffer with him, knowing that those who suffer with him will also be glorified with him. This then is how we must understand our own suffering. The suffering of the church and her children. Of course, we are called to weep with one another. We weep for and with our brothers and sisters in Christ at the pain they endure. We weep for them. We weep with them. But you must not weep as those without hope. You must not pity them. You must not feel sorry for them. For just as the Lord was pleased to be glorified in the sufferings of his Son, so he is pleased to be glorified in the sufferings of his church, whom he calls his sons and daughters. When you then weep with one another, do not weep as those without hope. When you weep together, weep as those who know you will also rejoice together. This hope is yours in Christ. Take up the cross and follow him. Follow him to the end. Follow him to the grave. Follow him to glory. To him be the glory forever. Amen.